Accession number 9428, Reel 2.
Mr. Keel, Reel 2. Could you tell me when you went down to Whitehall?
It isn't really pinpointed in my memory which day it was, but it must have been either the day war was declared, which was August the 4th, or it might have been the next day, the 5th, or, in anticipation, August the 3rd. I don't know which day of those three it was, except that Whitehall was mouldy with people, men and everybody, recruiting sergeants, all joining up and everything about recruiting. That was at Whitehall.
Where were the recruiting sergeants housed? Were they just behind tables?
No, they wandered about amongst the crowds. And then as soon as they found a likely bloke, they would just walk him along to one of the tables where your name and everything would be taken, and you would be told that you are now in the Middlesex Regiment or the Foot Guards, or you're in this or that, and here's a shilling, and we will be communicating with you where you have got to go to join up and when. So that's all I can tell you about Whitehall.
Each table represented a different regiment?
I guess it did, yes. That, as I say, I was too green. I didn't understand. It must have been that, if I think it over, yes. Yes, because they couldn't all different regiments, all join from one table.
I see. And when you actually joined up, did you think of what the fighting would be like? You mentioned that...
Not the Haypath, no. We were just a kind of another adventure coming on. No, didn't think of anything. It was just another adventure, like... joining to go over to France to be a jockey, or going there to be another sort of rider, or to go into a show. No, it was just another adventure. That's all I can say. We never thought of blood and thunder and shells and things. Never thought of that.
Did you talk to your family before you enlisted?
I told them when I got back. I said I'd join the army. My poor father, he nearly collapsed.
Why was that?
He didn't like it, the army or anything. I think he was, from way back, of some foreign something in his life. He might have been, perhaps his father or grandfather was German or something or other. But he didn't ever say he was against war, but he was never for war, if you understand what I mean. But that's all. And my sister... Maidie, who she was home, of course, in those days before she went to America. She was thrilled. Oh, you a soldier. It was a sort of a funny thing, but it wasn't funny to my father. But it was soon forgotten, because in a couple of days I had my calling up papers and I was away, and I wasn't home very much more after that.
Do you have any friends in the locality who joined up with you?
No, not a soul. No, nobody.
Okay, where were you posted to?
Mill Hill.
Which is in North London, isn't
it? North London, yes. And we got the paper and it says, report to Mill Hill Barracks on tomorrow or something. And bus fare will be paid or something. I got to Mill Hill, but no buses or whatever it was. Went up to the camp for some reason. I don't know why. Because I had to walk up to this camp, and I never was a good walker as a kid, and it was a shocking great hill I had to climb up to get to the camp, and I had so many rests on the way that it must have set me back about a half hour. because if I could have gone up there straight away, my number in the new army of the Middlesex Regiment would have been number one, instead of which it took me so long to get up to the top there that my regimental number then became 478.
Were there many other people getting off the train and walking along with you when you...
Oh, yes, there was quite a stream of people going up there, yes. But that's what I mean. My number, 478, which was a ridiculously low number for a new army of millions of men, and my number was 478. But I say could have been one if I could have got there in time, up there in time.
Can you remember what Mill Hill Barracks was like?
Or well, yes, I can, dimly. If I won't be taking up too much of your time. Right, well, Mill Hill Barracks was... it was under canvas, I can remember that. And within that first day, we were kitted out with the uniform and things. I know I had a full uniform plus other things, billy can and things, and also a waterproof sheet, which is a thing that is very badly needed for a foot soldier, because he can sleep on it, he can cover himself with it. It's like a Macintosh or a bedspread or whatever you like. But that is an essential thing, is the waterproof sheet. I was issued with one, and I put it in my belt tent with my other gear, and when I went back for it later on in the day, everything else was there but no waterproof sheet. Somebody had pinched it. And I know when it came to kit inspection, I was socked 7 and 6 pence, I think, for a replacement of my waterproof sheet.
I see. Can you remember what other kit you were given?
Well, except that it was just uniform, shirt, pants, boots, all terrible things to me, because up until then, being a jockey, an apprentice jockey on stage, I was very fastidious with my clothes. I used to like silk shirts, I used to like silk socks, patent shoes. I liked all those things. And in the army at Mill Hill, I was issued with vests and pants that were lined with sandpaper. I'm certain of that. I have never had such prickly stuff against my skin in my life before. The boots were weighed about 10 pound each. I'd never been used to anything like that. Everything was ruddy awful. That was the army kit. But of course you get your... And also there was... after I'd been there a little while, it was quite a funny little thing. We always have to look for humour. I know I was walking within that first day or two. I had learnt the difference between officers and men, what they look like. And I knew what an officer then looked like, especially the colonel, which we had seen. And I was walking through what we call the lines, that is between the barracks, the brick barracks, not the... not the canvas ones, through the brick barracks, and I hadn't got my cap on, but I saw the officer coming along. It was the colonel, and I get all myself all ready. So as he came close to me, up went my arm with a lovely salute, and he stopped me. He said, very nice salute. I said, yes. He said, what's your name? I said, Keel, sir, Private Keel. He said, that's very nice hair you got there, Keel. I was very proud of it. It was beautiful, fair and curly. Very lovely hair. I said, yes, sir, that's what they tell me in civil life. He said, well, not in the army, Keel. He said, so you will go from here to the army barbers and you will get that lovely hair cut off. Oh, dear. I could have wept. Anyway, I found the barber and I said, the colonel said I've got to have my hair off. And that flaming barber got his clippers out and he clipped every bit of my hair off. I was bald-headed. My sister came to see me that day and I took my cap off and bowed to her with no hair. She nearly fainted. She only remembered me as this curly-headed brother of hers.
perhaps we could look at your other reactions to army lifestyle. For example, the tents that you were housed in. How many men actually stayed in
the tents? Yes. Well, I had no knowledge of what tents were, what they how many it consisted of, but it was what they call the bell tent. It's, you know, the tent that goes up to a spike at the top. But in those days, a bell tent had to house, I got a feeling it was either 18 or 21 men. I can't say so. You must forgive me if I'm wrong for a man or two. But anyway, it was a number something like that. And the men would sleep with their heads to the outside and their feet to the inside. The inside means to the inside pole. And so there was it was 18 or 20, and that's the way you slept anyway, with the heads to the outside, feet to the inside. And I was unlucky because I'd got my bit of ground to sleep on, was near the opening of this bell tent. And I didn't know that the men had been out to canteens and sopping beer, but all night long, men were crawling over and stepping over me and stepping on me to go out to make water or something or other. And I was in that nasty position of being trodden on all night. That was my first impression of bell tents and sleeping under canvas. I didn't like it.
You didn't have to keep that position every
I can't
every
remember
night.
What. I guess I must have fixed it the next next time. Because shortly after that, of course, we went into brick barracks.
Oh, you did. Can you describe the barracks?
Well, it was there at Mill Hill. I'm certain it was Mill. Or was it? I'm certain it. You must forgive me. Some things you just can't remember. But I got a feeling it was barracks at Mill Hill. Or did we go to Aldershot? No, it wasn't Aldershot. That
well,
was later.
Well, perhaps you could describe the barracks anyway, if you're not sure.
Well, anyway, the barracks was bunks all the way down along dormitories. That wasn't too bad.
How many men lived in the barracks?
Oh, well, it would have been about a platoon of about 30 men, I suppose. Some things I said just now are quite hazy. I should think it's somewhere a platoon, and a platoon, I think, was about 25, 30 men.
How did you react to having to, as it share your life now in a very public way?
It came sort of natural. Yes, it... that is what I'd gone into, and that's as it was, and that's what I accepted. So I didn't resent it at all. The only thing I did resent was this flaming marching, because I couldn't march. I had never marched in my life, but otherwise everything else, the food, I couldn't grumble at that, the uniform and the prickly underwear, I had got used to it after a very short time.
Can you remember what food you actually...
No, but I can remember my first meal at Mill Hill under canvas. It must have been late afternoon we got there. It must have been at Mill Hill at tea time. And my first meal there was bread and jam and wasps. August, yes, of course. Well, wasps would be thousands and millions of wasps. But the jam must have attracted the wasps, but... Because as soon as you opened your mouth to put a bit of bread and jam in your mouth, you got a wasp as well. That was my first meal, bread and jam and wasps. What the other meals were over after, I couldn't tell you. But that one I can remember.
You remember feeling that you were well fed?
I can't remember, no. But I can tell you when we were bloody well, awfully fed, was in the trenches in France.
Well, we'll come on to that.
We'll come to that, yeah.
Later on. What about your reaction to army discipline, the organisation of the army?
That I accepted. I think it was a bit milder in those early days. It wasn't those raucous sergeant majors at the beginning, because I expect NCOs were told not to be too heavy-handed with the new recruits in case they got worried and scared.
Do you know that for a fact, or is that just what you think?
I don't know that, but I think that it was only afterwards that NCOs became all raucous and, you know, loud-voiced. But I don't remember it being nastily like that at the beginning, no. So they must have been tipped off to backpedal a little bit with them.
When you say that they became more raucous, in what way did that affect
you? Well, at one time it was company. Four fours. That was all right, I guess. But when they become raucous, company! Four! Village! That's the raucous part of it.
What was your reaction to that?
Great. It's a great on me. I hate it. That's why I try to get out of regimental duties and listened out for any jobs were going that took me away from my company.
Can we just return for a moment to the conditions of service in the army that we've been talking about? Can you remember having kit inspections at all?
Yeah, I can remember them, but I can't remember anything outstanding about them. It would just be announced that it would be kit inspection at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and that your kit would be laid out in the regimental style. And
can you remember that? What that was?
No, I can't remember this. It all had to be folded in certain ways in army style. Blankets and everything had to be folded and all in certain ways and laid. Every man's kit was the same. If you looked at one number one or you looked at number 50. It would still be laid out the same as number one, as number 50. But as far as anything outstanding about kit inspection, no. I can't remember. I was never missing anything, so I was never up on the carpet about kit.
You were missing at one time, I believe.
At one time was at Mill Hill, the first day was my waterproof sheet.
What happened when you found your waterproof sheet missing and they...
I had to announce that my waterproof, because I went and asked for another one. And they said, where's the one you were issued with? I said, somebody's pinched it. And they said, all right, well, we'll issue you one, but you'll be debited for 7 and 6 pence for a new one. And I can tell you something of 4.5 years later about that waterproof sheet, shall I?
Yes.
Yes. Well, 4.5 or so, 5 years went by, and came the great day when I was demobbed. And to be demobbed, in France, we went to Boulogne, and there we had a kit inspection. And although I'd left the concert party, the only thing I was really short of was a waterproof sheet. And do you know, they found out on that last day in the army that I was short of a waterproof sheet, and I was docked 7 and 6 pence for the loss of it. So from the first day in the army to the last day in the army, I was docked 7 and 6 pence for a waterproof sheet, which is a rather coincidence.
Can you remember inspections when you were on parade?
Inspection? No, I can't... No, nothing that I can say was an inspection on parade.
Well, your uniform was inspected in the way you...
No. Well, of course, naturally, the sergeant or the officer would walk along the lines and see that you were properly dressed, or you might want a haircut. Sergeant, get the man a haircut. Tell this man, clean his buttons. That's all, but it's only as he passed by, he'd pick little holes in the man, but inspection, that was it, clean his buttons or get his hair cut. That's all.
Did you have to spend a lot of time preparing for things like that in terms of your appearance?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Cleaning buttons and cleaning boots?
Well, that all came in the evening. After you'd finished duty, that would be the thing you'd have to do. You'd have to clean your boots and your buttons and all that, all ready for tomorrow morning.
Mm. Right, can we move now on to your training in the army at Mill Hill? You mentioned marches,
yes.
They didn't like square bashing.
Yes.
Could you describe what you had to do?
Well, it was marching, yes. Yes, I can remember my first march. We were going, well, it seemed to me a long way, and it seemed never ending, and my poor feet must have been getting blistered, and they were very sore. And I said to the corporal who was marching next to me, I said, Corporal, I'm going to drop out. He said, you'll be on a crime if you do. I said, well, I just can't keep on. He said, if you drop out, he said, I'll have to drop out with you so that you're not exactly under guard, but you've got somebody with you. You know, you, you, You can't be a spare soldier wandering about the country not under supervision. So if you drop out, I'll have to drop out with you. So I said, I'm dropping out. He said, well, I'm dropping out too. Well, when the things had moved on, I said, I could do with a cup of tea, couldn't you? He said, yes, I could. I said, it looks like a farmhouse in the distance. And he said, it does, doesn't it? So we made our way to the farmhouse. Oh, very nice people. And we told the lady what it was, the farmer's wife, and she gave us a very nice tea. And we went back, made our way back gently to the barracks. And sure enough, when we got back to the barracks, we were both on a crime for having broken ranks and whatnot. And up in front of the CO the next morning. And I was very mad about that, because I could, my feet wouldn't let me go any further at that steady marching, crawling along to the farmhouse, that was different. But I was very upset that I was pulled up like a criminal in front of the judge. And I made that very plain when I was in front of the CO. I don't know the words I said, but I guess I was gifted with a gab in those days. I said that here am I, a young man, a volunteer. I left my army life, my civilian life, to join this army, to fight for my country. And because until I'm absolutely fit to fight for my country, I've got to have the indignity of being put on a crime because I couldn't walk the full distance. And that, and I really told her, I was dismissed without a stain on my character.
Is this part of their gentle policy with the new recruits, do you think?
I suppose. I don't know whether they'd all get away with it, but I had the gift of the gab, I will put it that way. Mm. But I wasn't going to be put on a crime. Not if I could speak and get out of it.
Mm. Can you remember going on route marches?
That was the route march, yes.
Did you have to carry full kit? In that
not in those early days, not of the Mill Hill days, no. That didn't come until getting on towards going overseas.
Oh, I see. Well, perhaps, because we're talking about it now, you could describe one, if you can remember one, what you had to do and how much you had to carry.
I can't remember the number, but 100 and some odd pounds, because it consisted of not only your uniform, but the entrenching tool, which was like a little spade with a handle in two bits which you could dig holes with, there was that. There was 120 rounds of ammunition. They're quite heavy, 120 ammunition, and a blanket, your spare shirt and socks and pants, all in your backpack, and any of your own private little bits and pieces would also go in the pack. So I think it weighed something like about 120 pounds or something.
Did you carry your rifle as well?
And your rifle as well. They weighed 7 pounds. Yes, funny, it's coming back to me. 7 pounds with your rifle and your bayonet, of course. That was extra. Mm.
And how far did you have to march?
I couldn't tell you, not in miles then, and no, I couldn't tell you.
Can you remember how you bore up under the march, and were you able to do it?
Well, as time went on, and I say, from all the other little jobs that I had, I guess I must have got hardened, and I could do it. And I know I could in France, we had to march from here to there. And I know, to this day, I still suffer with my right ankle. We were going from the town of Albert to Bapaume, and there was a push on, and we had to get there as quickly as we could, and I trod on half a brick and over went my ankle, and it swelled up like a suffering great pumpkin, and it's never been right to this day. But route marches, I could do them then. We all could anyway.
Do you remember your training with a rifle?
Not particular training. It's how to hold them, how to load them.
What were you told?
What to use the sight, back sight, and the front sight, fore sight, front sight. I think.
Can you remember what you were told?
No, you're just shown how to put your magazine, your thing of bullets in, and don't forget, push the bolt, and then don't forget the safety catch. And the four sighters up there, when you do it, you look down at 6 o'clock at the target when you fire, because the bullet will just gently rise a little and hit whatever you're aiming at about midships. That's about all I can remember about what we had.
Were you taken down to a rifle range so you could practice?
We had rifle range, but that's non-committal. There's just the targets, and you just pull the trigger when you think. No, there's nothing I can talk about that was.
Can you remember if you were showing results of your efforts at shooting on the rifle range?
Well, we must have been showing it, because I was dimly satisfied with mine. It wasn't good. It wasn't a bullseye every time, but I had one or two bulls, and I was always seemed to be on the target. So I must have been a fair marksman. The only thing I didn't like was bloody bayonets.
Well, can you remember bayonet practice?
I can remember bayonet practice, yes.
Can you tell me something about it?
No, except that you've got a sack. And you scream at the top of your voice, rushing forward with your bayonet, and turn it to the left or right and pull it out again. So that if you stuck it in a man, it would be a hell of a job to pull the bayonet out. Unless you turned it left or right, it made the hole bigger and the bayonet came out quicker. That's all I can tell you about the bayonet. But it always seems such a gruesome weapon. I'm very glad I never had to use it. I've had it stuck on my rifle for many times and going over the top, but I never had to use it, I'm very glad to say.
Mm. Were you told to make any noise when you were running?
Yes, you had to scream at the top of your voice.
Why was that?
To put the wind up them. Yeah. You know, they put the wind up you. If I came running at you like that, you'd say, what the hell's the matter with this little geezer? That was the idea.
Can you remember going on any tactical exercises while you were at Mill Hill?
At Mill Hill? No, I can't. No, Mill Hill was only a sort of meeting place or a transit camp to get us out and to get assembled and to form us into a company or a regiment. But I don't think there was any. I don't think even if there was a rifle range there, I can never remember seeing it. And as far as any climbing over fences and climbing up walls, I didn't see anything there at all. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't think there was any tactical thing at all at Mill Hill.
You mentioned forming into a regiment or a company. Were you actually put in a unit when you got to Mill Hill?
There was the object in going to Mill Hill, if I remember, going to Mill Hill was to form us into a battalion. You see, the men were coming in all the time who had been enlisted and had to meet there. So I guess we were there a week or two until all the men who had been attested came up to there, and then as they came, they were numbered off, and we were then made into platoons, companies, and then regiment, and that's where we became the 11th Middlesex Regiment.
And what part of the regiment were you attached to?
I was attached to C Company, yes. I can't remember which platoon. There's two or three platoons to a company. But I know I was C Company, 11th Middlesex Regiment, yes.
Thank you. Did you take any special training whilst you were at Mill Hill?